from the first time I ever heard it, I kind of, my heart just reached out and identified with the one who wrote it, because I know how he feels. To be gathered together in the name of Jesus and worshiping him and feeling and seeing and hearing and knowing his presence as we meet together with him. There, it's such a sweet thing to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I read about some years back a church in Jefferson, Oregon. It was interesting. This church made prayer the focal point of their entire church and ministry. Everything they did, from the cradle to the senior citizens and the youth and everyone else, was focused around praying together, praying in prayer. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about what I found out about Jefferson, Oregon. Jefferson is a little town that has about 1,700 members in the entire city, the town, only 1,700 people. And Dee Dukes is the pastor of the church there in Jefferson, Oregon. When he came there, there were a couple hundred people in that church. And over the next period of a few years, the church grew until there were 1,300 people in the church. 1,700 in town, 1,300 in that church. Now, folks got a little curious about that. Some preachers particularly wanted to know, how did that happen? How did it take place? He said, well, let me just give you a story and tell you how it happened. He said, when I was a kid, my dad was in the Navy. And on the weekends, sometimes he would take me down to the dock where the warships were tied up to the pier, and we would go fishing. And on one occasion, he said, I remember my dad taking me down there, and there's this big Navy ship up against the pier, and the hawsers that tie it to the pier were slack. They were just there. The ship was out up against the pier. And said, my dad put his fishing pole down, walked over to that big ship, put his hands against the side of the ship, braced his feet on the pier, and my dad started pushing on that big Navy ship. And he said, I thought, you know, my dad must be weird. I mean, how can my dad move a ship? He just, one man, this big Navy ship there. He said, but my dad just kept pushing against that side of that ship, just kept pushing. And he said, I don't know how long we stood there, but after a while, he said, I saw something. I saw that ship move. It moved about an inch, then it moved a few more inches, and said, gradually, my dad pushed that big Navy ship out away from the pier. He said, man, I thought my dad was Superman. I mean, he said, I couldn't believe he did that. And said, then my dad explained it to me. He said, son, he said, listen. He said, this is how that works. He said, you see, I don't have that much energy, but when I put all my energy into that ship and it moves from me into that ship, he says, when there's enough energy stored up in that ship from my pushing on it, it will begin to move. I can actually move the ship. And he said, son, that explains why the ship moved. He said, I'll tell you one other thing. He says, if you had helped me, it would have moved twice as quick. You know, that story stuck in my mind because I think that's what the great psalmist David had in mind when he wrote the words and sang the song, Psalm 133. And if you will turn there in your Bible or look on the screen here, I think we've got it up for you to look at that. I want to read that for you. This is a song by David, and I think this is the picture he has and what he had in mind about what happens when people are together and we move together, work together, worship together, and as the psalmist did. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, King David was well acquainted with discord and disunity because it it plagued his family, his personal life, the life of Israel during the time, the early part of his reign as the king of Israel. One of his sons, a son by the name of Absalom, rebelled against his father. He actually divided the nation and got a lot of the military men to follow him. And for a period of time, there was war in the country. The country was torn apart. David was caught up in that until his son Absalom was killed. And then the nation was brought back together. Psalm 133 was probably written after that period of time when the nation had been through this civil war, this disunity and the problems that existed there, and now they were back together. And David brought the people together, brought the whole nation, and they gathered in Jerusalem to worship Holy God. And a spirit of unity was there in that great congregation. Thousands upon thousands of people gathered together to worship the Lord and celebrate the goodness of the Lord. And I think that's what led David to write these words. Behold, look, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the word there, dwelling together, it implies more than just a temporary state of mind or a situation that existed for a short time. It was more like an ideal or an aim or a purpose that they had. Differences had been set aside. Strong wills had been surrendered. Brothers and sisters in faith in God put their energy together like Dee did with that ship and just began to push together. And it was such a sight that David said, look, how beautiful, how sweet it is when people dwell together in the spirit of unity. I'm just thinking about what has happened, transpired here at Big Spring over the past few weeks of time. This presence today doesn't look like it did the last time I was here because we were gone the second week after the celebration of the 100 years. This place was filled with people. I mean, some of you were wondering if you were going to have to sit in the choir and the balcony and everything like that. And more than that, I've seen people just meeting together, gathered up together, working together, planning together, and look what happened when you did that. I mean, the place filled with people. I think over these past few weeks, the kind of spirit that's been demonstrated here probably caused someone in heaven somewhere to say, look at that Big Springs Baptist Church down there. I mean, they're just working together. They're just united together. They're just doing things. Isn't how sweet it is? How sweet it is. So I want to look at this, if you will, this morning, what David has said here and how that applies to us and why it's so sweet. The Holy Spirit gave David these words with which to compare what it's like when people put their hearts together and we unite our hearts and our minds for one central purpose, and that is to worship the Lord God in our faith in Jesus Christ. David said, you know what that's like? He says, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. Now, one of these days, you're going to get a pastor who will be with you for 25 years, and when he comes in, I hope you don't do this to him. I hope that we don't send a head deacon down here with a jar of perfumed oil and pour it on top of his head and let it run down his face and trickle down his shirt and come down and drip off of his pant cuffs, you know. I kind of wonder about that. Well, that's how they did that in those days. But now, what God has pictured for us here is something else. What he's telling us here and what David is referring to and what the people were he wanted the people to see is that when God pours out his spirit upon a man and upon a people and upon a church, it is a beautiful fragrance. I mean, it just wafts out and fills the room and fills the place, and people see it. And God covers His people and covers His servants with His presence. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. And the devil just hates to see that. He works against it. I mean, he will make the babies sick and cause people to find all kinds of reasons not to come back together and meet together and worship together and be together. Satan does everything he can to undo what God has already done in the spirit of His presence and His Holy Spirit. And what God is saying here, that there's one thing that convinces the world that the church, that this church has something legitimate to offer that the world can't provide. And it is that spirit of unity and oneness in the Lord. Folks, you know it and I know it too. Our world is just totally falling apart. Families are falling apart. Marriages are falling apart. Hardly a week passes, I don't hear of some family falling apart from divorce. America, for all of its reputation of being a Christian nation, we're one of the leading nations in terms of divorce and broken families and broken marriages today. Our country doesn't have that spirit of unity and family anymore. Politically, I don't say much about politics, but I've got enough common sense to see that we're divided right down the middle. You have some believe this way and some believe that way. Some going this way, some going that way. So we're divided politically. We're divided as families in so many ways. Culturally, we can't even decide what marriage is anymore, or some people can't. One court will say one thing, one court will say another. The world doesn't have unity. How sweet it is to find a church, to find a people in whom dwells the spirit of unity and oneness. We know who we are. We know where we're headed. We know what we're doing. We know what we're doing here and why God put us here. How sweet that is. Now, unity isn't about uniformity. You know the difference, don't you? Some people like their toast dry and some want it buttered. I mean, we're different about what we like and our likes and dislikes are. But what God is saying to us here is that He wants to unite us in mission and purpose so that we are a people of one purpose and one mission. And that purpose and that mission is to introduce people to a Savior who can change their lives and change our lives now and forever. That's what we're here for. And when we unite our hearts together, the world outside is looking for that kind of unity and that kind of sweet fragrance of unity and oneness. Well, I know what those folks are about. I know what they're there for. And that's what I saw demonstrated over the past several weeks here around Big Springs. I saw so many people. You had one purpose. You had one unity, one thing in mind, and you were working together in that. And it was so sweet. Differences are laid aside. People praying for one another. If there was any need for forgiveness, it was granted and it was received. And now you have it. Let's keep it. Amen. Let's keep that spirit of unity. How sweet it is. And then, look how strong it is. I remember the story about a father who had a bunch of boys, sons, and like a lot of families with boys, they didn't always see eye to eye, and they were quarrelsome and fighting each other. And finally, Dad got them together and said, "Now look, boys," said, "just come here." And he got a stick and he handed it to the biggest boy and he said, "Break that stick." And the boy just popped that stick and said, "Here." He said, "All right." Then he handed him two sticks. He said, "Put them together, break them." He said, "Sure, break them." Three. break them. Four, got about the fifth or sixth stick. He's trying to break those sticks and he can't do it. And then the dad says, now look, boys, when you are by yourself and you stand alone and you work alone and you do things alone, even if you're doing what you want to do, it's easy for anything to come along and stop you. But when you're together, when you're united, and when you're one, then your enemies are not going to be able to take you down. Not a one. When a church is united, when a house is united in one purpose and one mission and one reason to exist and to be here, then not only is it sweet, it is strong. It is strong. Ann and I had the opportunity back 2 or 3 years ago to take a little bit longer vacation, and we went, we actually flew out west, then got a car, and we traveled up and down the western coast, which I had not done before, and I had heard about some of those sites, and one of the things that always impressed me and I marveled at, the pictures I saw about the giant redwood and sequoia trees that are out there. And we visited some of those forests, and I saw the trees that were there. In 1891, the American Museum of Natural History petitioned that they might be able to take one of those trees down, cut it down, 1891. So they got some guys with axes, and they cut this tree down, had 55 feet circumference around that tree. They cut it down. There was enough chips that they cut down with those axes to build two houses. I mean, just 1 foot of that tree would have weighed 5 tons. 5 tons across the thing. That tree that they cut down actually was 1,300 or more years younger than the big trees they left standing there. That particular tree, when Rome was falling, about 70 years after Rome fell, that tree sprung up as a little seedling, and then it grew up as a sapling through the years of Muhammad and all of the rest of the things that have happened in history since then, and they cut that tree down. Amazing thing. When it was cut down, it had 32,000 cubic feet of wood. For all you carpenters and engineers, that's a lot of timber, a lot of lumber. Now, here's the amazing thing about the sequoias and the redwoods. You see them standing there, you could say nothing could tear them down or knock them down. They have survived the time and all. What's the secret of their being able to survive like that? It's not what you see above the ground, folks. It's what exists underneath the ground. They have a root system that expands outward and intertwines with the other trees around them, and literally the trees hold each other up. You can't knock them down, because to knock them down you'd have to knock the whole forest down. How strong is the unity and the bond of unity? That's the kind of relationship that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, "And they," the church, "continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." They had a purpose. They had a ministry. They had a mission. They were all united in that. They had their differences and their opinions, but the one thing that kept them together was who they were in Jesus Christ. How strong is a church like that? It's not the number of Christian activities and events that we hold, and I think those have their place, they're important. It's not the programs or the preaching that's going to keep or make a church strong. All of them are necessary, but it's whether or not the roots of our life and existence and ministry reach down and intertwine in the presence and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they hold us together. That's what's going to make this church thrive and grow and continue to be strong. This is what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote to the church and the Christians at Corinth, and he said, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that you there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Nothing is impossible for those who walk together in the bond of faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing." I tell you something, I get excited when I drive up to the Big Spring Baptist Church campus. I get excited about all the possibilities I see for this church and this community. I don't know how you feel about it, what you're thinking about when you drive up. Well, yesterday, I drove up to the office here, got out of the car, and I looked, and I saw down the street here someone was having a yard sale. Now, if you haven't discovered this already, the best place you can go to get to know people and meet people and even talk to them about Jesus and about Big Spring Church is at yard sales. How many of you go to yard sales to talk about Jesus? Nobody, huh? You're missing out. I went over to this house, and I said, "I'm Nolan Phillips. I'm from over at Big Spring Church over here." And I said, "And what's your name?" She said, Terry. And I said, "Terry, who's this?" She said, "That's Janice, my mother." I said, "Well, who are these kids over here?" She said, "Well, that's Joshua, and that's Wesley, and who's this little bitty one?" She said, "That's Darius." I said, "Well, you know, I think I've seen you over at the skating rink before." "Yes, you have." I said, "Well, boys, I haven't seen you at Kid Connection on Sunday night. You want to be there this week?" "Yeah, we'll be there. So I hope they're going to be here, teachers, tonight for Kid Connection." Yard sales. I mean, all the possibilities that are out here. You know, as members of the body of Christ, we'll never see everything the same, but we can be strengthened by the abiding presence of Jesus, and he will make possibilities, impossibilities happen, and possibilities for us. Look how strong it is, this unity of purpose. What's our purpose? It's to declare Jesus Christ and to introduce people to him in a life-changing way that changes their lives now and forever. Not only is it sweet and strong, but it is, look how stimulating it is. It's here in this verse of scripture here that we're looking at. David pointed to the morning dew that fell on the mountainsides around Jerusalem. And so in verse 3 he says, "It is like the dew of Mount Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." If you ever visit the Bible lands, you will notice that it is a dry, semi-desert area, much of it. And you may wonder, why is it that the mountains are so green and the pastures are green there? It's because that in the early morning, the moisture that's in the air meets the coolness of or vice versa, the ground, the heat and the air meet together, and dew is formed, and that dew descends upon the mountainside, and that's how the grasses grow and are kept alive. Dew is a great picture of the stimulating unity of the Holy Spirit. You ever thought about this? The Holy Spirit falls upon a church and upon an individual Christian like dew falls on the earth and the ground. You don't have to do anything to make it happen. It just happens. God sends his Spirit as he will. And when the Holy Spirit falls upon our hearts and our lives, he stimulates the growth that should take place in us. There's a stimulating about it. You don't have to worry about it, argue about it, or work to make the dew fall. It just falls. The Holy Spirit of God falls upon his people. Oh, I think of the old-time saint who was praying at the front of the church, and he's saying over and over, "Do it again, Lord, do it again. Send your Holy Spirit. Let your Spirit fall upon your people." How stimulating it is. In Hezekiah's day after David's time, there was another opportunity in which the people of Israel had the opportunity to meet again together and show the warring nations around them that they were one people united together in one purpose and cause, and that was to worship God and serve Him. And Hezekiah called the people together for the Passover. In those days, the nation had already been divided so badly that part of them were in this direction, part there, but many of them came back together, and there was another great outpouring of God's Spirit, and the people came together, and they worshiped together, and Hezekiah looked out upon that one brief week of celebration, and together they sang these songs. Oh, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. Big Spring has the opportunity to show a community that has all the division that it can stand and all of the brokenness that it can ever endure, that there is a people here who are united together in one purpose and one cause and one reason. And God has put us here, and it is to share the hope and joy of Jesus Christ that will change their lives now and forever and bring us together as one people in one time. We have that opportunity. Next Sunday night, I was telling the folks at the yard sale, we're going to have Sunday Night Live over at the gymnasium over here. If you don't know it, yeah, there's a big yellow building over there. That's the gymnasium, and that's we're going to meet over there. When I said we're going to have Sunday Night Live and the Big Spring Boys Band is going to play, and we're going to have some foot stomping, hand clapping, praise the Lord music. Tom's going to lead it. Mary Beth, Josh can't be there. Can Mary? You think Mary Beth could do that? Mary Beth can play that piano, and so we're gonna sing. We're gonna praise the Lord together, and we are inviting our neighbors. When I told the neighbors I saw down the street that we're gonna do, they said, "You gonna meet over in the gym, have church?" I said, "We sure are." And they said, "Well, we'll be there." We have an opportunity to show folks how united we are about what God has put us here for, and to share with them, like the dew of heaven, the presence of the Lord. Not only is it sweet and strong and stimulating, but it's satisfying. It's satisfying. Look at the last thing that David sang there. He said, verse 3, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." God's Spirit and the unity of the body of Christ is quenched, drowned out by a quarrelsome church or body. I've been in the Bradley County area about 7 years. Prior to that time, as you know, I was on a sojourn in Ohio for about 40 years in one church, and now, but here I've been in a number of churches, and I can't tell you how many churches, large and small, I have seen who've lost that spirit of unity and oneness, that sweet, stimulating strength of unity. Churches that have been torn apart with members involved in power struggles, trying to do things their way. Don't let that happen to Big Spring. We're not like that. We're not all alike. We don't have to be, but whenever we hear the name of Jesus, I think about when I was down in Mississippi years ago, and the fox hunters would come out in the yard where we had where the parsonage of the church was, and they would get together and they'd turn these old dogs loose, and I tell you, you never heard such a howling, fighting, quarrelsome thing in your life. Dogs fighting here, dogs fighting there, you know. Then after a while, one old dog would either scent a fox somewhere and give that signal and that sound, and all those quarrelsome fighting hounds would pitch in right behind that lead dog, and off they'd go, and you never heard such sweet music in all your life as they went over those hills and valleys, because they'd found their purpose. They'd found their mission. They knew what they were there for, and I mean, they just went after it. That's what the church is like. I mean, we got all kinds of things that we can be different about, but we know one thing: when Jesus is here and we've got Him in our hearts and people who need to hear Him, we've got something to share. And that's what Cleveland's waiting to hear. That's what people want to find. That's what they're looking for. Here's our opportunity, folks. Next Sunday night will be a great opportunity. We'll be back tonight, of course. We'll be talking together, but next Sunday night, meeting together. Oh, by the way, we're going to need lots of brownies, because afterwards we're going to eat some sweets and brownies. So how many of you right now can bring some brownies or homemade cookies? Come on, get your hands up. Okay, yeah, that's about enough, almost. All right. Well, we're going to have a good time. Now, where was I? Maybe, though, that's next week. What about right now? You say, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been hoping for. This is what I want to find. If you admit that you need God's forgiveness for your sin, and you turn to Him from your way of doing things to His way, and stop being a fan and start being a follower of Jesus, and you're willing to surrender your heart to His control, He promises that His Spirit will come into your heart and life, and you can become and be a part of the body of believers who have a sweet, strong, stimulating, satisfying relationship with Him. In a few minutes, I want to challenge you to talk to God. That's what prayer is all about. Tell Him what you've just heard. Lord, I need You, and I need Your forgiveness, and I need Your presence in my life, and I don't want to continue living the way I'm living. I want to live Your way. Come into my heart. Take control of my life. Make me the person You want me to be in Jesus' name. And if you pray that prayer, if you'll tell God that and really mean it with your heart, your life will never be the same again. Taste the sweet harmony of believers in Christ. If you're on the outside looking in, it's not because you aren't being sought, but because you refuse to be found. Jesus is here, and He's waiting. I have a GPS in my car and one on my phone, and in spite of that fact, yesterday I was out visiting in the county out here trying to find a family, and I got hopelessly lost, and I got a GPS. I got the thing out, and it said, do you want to start from right here? And I said, no, I don't want to start from right here. I want to start from over here. And that was a mistake. And do you want to start right now, or you want to start later? I want to do this later. That didn't work. And Ann wasn't there to work it for me, and so I just got hopelessly lost with the GPS. Maybe that's how you are this morning. You know, you said, well, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I want to happen in my life. I want to be a part of a body of believers like that. But, you know, not now, later, not here, somewhere else, you'll stay lost like I did. My prayer today is that you will say to the Lord, Lord, I hear Your voice. I hear Your calling. I came today and I was looking and You found me, and this is what I need to do. And in a few moments, we're going to have an opportunity for you to stand up and say so. Jesus said, if you will confess Me before men, I'll confess you before the angels of heaven. And we'll have an opportunity to share that time together. No speeches. You don't have to make a speech. You don't have to answer 10 easy questions. But I will ask you why you're here, and I hope that you say, because God has called me to follow Him. I want to follow Him, and I want to follow Him here in this place. And then leave the results to God. Let's pray. You talk to God as we do. Father, thank You for what You've spoken to our hearts. Thank You for these words that You have given us today. Lord, we need a sweetness like this in our hearts, a sweetness that comes from heaven and not can't be found on earth. Lord, we need a strength that can't be broken, a strength that is in Christ Jesus and His shed blood. Lord, we need to be rekindled, renewed within our hearts. We need to be a part of the body of Christ here. Lord, receive us today as we come, as we share, as we make this choice for you and commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Won't you stand with me now as we wait and as you respond to what God has spoken to your heart today. You come as God speaks to your heart this very moment.
In my life, Lord, be glorified.
And why are you here today? Follow the Lord and believers' baptism to show what Jesus
in my song, Lord, be glorified, be glorified in my song, Lord, be glorified.
As the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart today, I pray that you will come, join others who are here this morning making decisions for Christ as well, and let God have His way in your life as He chooses and wants. Let's sing another stanza while we wait for you.
In my life,
will you be seated for a few moments, please? And let me just share with you the decisions that have been shared with me today. We have, first of all, someone that comes to unite with the fellowship of this church and who will come under the watch care of the church by a letter from First Baptist Church of Cleveland, Michael Jones. If Michael will come stand with me. Now, Michael needs hardly much introduction, though he's newly come here to work with our students and youth. He'll be a part of this ministry here, and I know you're excited about that. Coming with him this morning are a couple of folks here in the community and church. Eddie, Tina, would you folks come and stand with me a moment? I asked them a moment ago why they were here, and Eddie said we want to unite ourselves with the church and with the Lord Jesus Christ. They come under the watch care of the church as we share with them. And I also ask them in obedience to Christ's command as new believers in Christ if they would be willing to be baptized. And they both indicated their desire to do so. I know you want to say to all of them who are here today that you are excited, aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. And just give them a great big praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you. Y'all may be seated here if you'd like. Charlie Barrett, where are you? Okay. Charlie's coming up to the front here. He has a quick announcement to make here. While he's coming, don't forget the homemade brownies and cookies for next Sunday night. We will need them next Sunday afternoon when you come, or if you can't be, don't miss it. I mean, and when you get over there in the building and folks around, and you hear that good country music and singing and the praising the Lord, I've requested When the Saints Go Marching In. I think that's a good one to start with, you know. And we'll just have a good time together there. Bring your cookies along. And we have some other folks who are coming from our crisis ministry. We're going to have a great time together there. Charlie, share with us, if you will.
Two announcements. Chris Jefferson's going to be on this trip to Yeah, I had it down a while ago. To Mexico. And we're trying to help him get the money up for that. So if anybody has any more, we've collected some. If anybody has any more they want to give the next few weeks, I'll take it up. It's not going to the Barrett Benevolent Fund. It's going to the Chris Epperson Fund. Another thing is Annie Armstrong is here now. We're taking up for it. I'll give you a little bit of history on her. She was born in Baltimore in July of 1855. Her grandfather helped start the First Baptist Church in Maryland. She was saved at 20 years old. Later, she worked with various Baltimore mission organizations. In 1888, she helped lead the creation of the WMU. During her tenure as head of the WMU, she took no salary and traveled at her own expense. In 1906, she resigned as head of it, although she remained active in her own local church. She died in 1938 in Baltimore. It's the 50th anniversary of the WMU. This year, the goal for the WMU, for the Annie Armstrong offering is for North American missions, is $70 million.
Thank you, Charles, for sharing that with us, and I hope that you will share in the mission and the vision of reaching people for Christ. Chris Epperson, if you don't know him, he's the guy with the guitar over here, all right? And we want to make sure he packs his guitar with him when he goes to Mexico this summer and spend a week or longer there working on a mission excursion trip with our other Bradley County young people, and we're excited about that. Well, come back this evening. We're going to have a little church meeting, and we're going to talk about what we learned, what we missed, and what we saw in our week of celebration, our month of celebration in this year, and we are going to spend some time sharing that together, and I've got one more word about VBS coming up.
How'd he know I was going to talk about VBS? There is a flyer in your bulletin, if you haven't looked at it. Who likes roller coasters? I don't ride roller coasters, so I'm in trouble this year. No, our VBS theme this year is Colossal Coaster World, and we are having it in July. It's going to be July the 7th through the 13th, which is the week before Chris is leaving, so Chris can work in Bible school this year. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, if you have not signed up to work in Bible school, which I'd only put the sign-up sheets out today, they're right back here in this little area. If you have never worked in Bible school, please consider it this year. We're missing some key people this year. We've got some ladies that have had children or are going to have children that usually work that won't be able to work. We've had several families that have left the church. If you are constructionally inclined and you can build sets, we have these big sets on our stage every year, and we're going to need some help with that this year. If you can build me a big roller coaster, I'd be tickled to death. We are having some training at Morris Hill Baptist Church on Tuesday night. This is an associational training for Hamilton County, and we go every year. It's Tuesday night. We'll be meeting here at 5:40 to go down there. If you are going to be a teacher and I haven't given you your materials, I have your materials with me, so if you'll get with me after church. And like I said, if you haven't taught or you don't know where you want to teach, we need everybody's help. Just pray about it and let us know what you want to do.
Thank you so much. And we're looking forward to this year and our exciting time with children, youth in the area, in Bible school. And let me just share something with you as we're getting ready to leave here. Big Spring Baptist Church is a friendly folk, and we love to visit and know and you. But one thing about it, we're not very fast. So if you hurry out of here, you'll never know how friendly we are. So hang around a while. Let's get acquainted and get to meet one another. I'll see you at the door. Let's all stand together while we sing our closing song. Thank you.